At the top of our program, the Michigan legislature today is in the middle of an eventful lame duck session. Efforts are in high gear today to hammer out a road and bridge funding measure before the session wraps up next Thursday, but many other important issues are also being debated and dealt with. A few will have to wait until 2015, as it turns out. For his perspective, we welcome back to current state Democratic State Rep Sam Singh of East Lansing. Hi, Sam.
Hi, how are you?
Great to have you with us. Also joining me, State Capitol Bureau Chief for the Michigan Public Radio Network, Rick Pluta. Hi, Rick.
Good morning.
I understand there is a key gathering happening at the Capitol as we speak.
Right about now, yeah.
Speaker Jace Bolger now appears to be open to some kind of revenue increase, which has really changed the landscape in this. That's a new development. Can you update us, Sam, on the road funding measure as best as you can?
Well, again, the quadrant leadership of the House and the Senate, the Republican leadership and the Democratic leadership have been meeting with the governor yesterday. They're going to continue meeting with the group today. As you mentioned, they're meeting actually right now. You know, I think the Senate put together a thoughtful plan that was sent back to us that generates new revenue, about $1.2 billion a year in extra revenue. I think if you look at any industry estimate, we have at least a $2 billion problem. So it doesn't fully solve the problem, but it at least heads in the right direction. And so I think that, along with the speaker's plan, will be part of the dialogue and negotiations today.
Sam, you originally called Speaker Jace Bolger's proposal a charade and a con game. Assuming that approach is now off the table, what's the best we might realistically hope for here? The governor and Randy Richardville are at $1.2 billion in new revenue. Speaker Bolger has not wanted to touch revenue, and now he appears open to that. Are we looking at some kind of middling figure here then?
Well, I hope we don't go too far down. Again, as I mentioned, industry experts tell us it's a $2 billion problem, and even getting to $1.2 billion, which was, I think, a reasonable movement forward, doesn't solve the problem. And for us to be competitive in a global economy, for us to have the roads where we want them to be and to be competitive with other states, I do believe we need to see more revenue. And so, you know, being as close to that $1.2 billion mark is going to be important.
It really seems like the negotiations have pivoted from one dilemma to another dilemma, the initial one being the position that was taken by the Republican leadership in the House that there should be no net revenue increase, no net tax increase, that it would just be a tax shift, to one where Jace Bolger said he's open to revenue, but he wants to walk the governor and the Senate Republican leadership back from that $1.2 billion number. But, you know, the thing is, as you know, we've been discussing these road numbers, you know, over the past few years. $1.2 billion has always been, you know, sort of the ceiling, not a floor. That it's got to be at least that in order to go forward. So it will be interesting to see how they resolve that.
Sam, can you tell us how have your Republican colleagues in the House felt about Speaker Bolger's position? Have they been united behind that, or have they been more open to a revenue increase?
Well, again, they did pass the speaker's plan, and so to some degree there was, I think, some desire by them to move that conversation piece forward. I do think privately I talked to a number of them, and they realized that it didn't generate the revenue that was necessary. At the same time, it did provide a huge amount of stress to schools. We would see a little over $800 million of revenue that could have gone to schools taken away under this plan, over $120 million towards local communities through revenue sharing that would be taken away as well. And I think a lot of my Republican colleagues were concerned about that as well.
Well, you know, one of the things that the Bolger plan did, maybe it's the major thing that the Bolger plan did, was set the stage for the negotiations that are taking place right now by showing Republicans some stark choices that if you're going to put money into roads, that it's going to have to come from somewhere. And while, you know, the Bolger plan, which should point out does seem to be off the table, said that it would do that and it would do that without cutting anywhere, it relied on some optimistic economic projections, and there was a lot of concern that would threaten schools, local governments. And so those interests were out in force at the state capitol going, this particular proposal should be a non-starter. Again, you know, putting before the legislators, particularly the Republicans, that you've got to make a choice. It's got to come from here or it's got to come from there.
And your House leader, Tim Grimmel, apparently wants discussion of new revenue paired with the proposal for a tax cut in some way. What do you know about that?
Well, absolutely. That has been something we have been discussing for a long period of time. Under this administration, we have seen the taxes raised on low and moderate income families. We've seen the earned income tax credit get slashed. We've seen the retirement tax implemented and so forth. That's put a burden on people. And as we're taking a look at different types of new revenue increases, we wanted to be able to soften that for those families. And so we'd like to pair that up with some tax relief for working families.
But I guess my question is, the goal here is to raise more revenue, you know, for roads. And anytime you do any of the things that you're talking about, that there are revenue implications for that. The question is then, you know, you're now piling more onto the revenue challenge. Where do you get that money?
Well, again, I think that's part of the conversation that the leadership will be discussing today, I'm sure, over the weekend as well. You know, I think that's one conversation. I think, you know, as we take a look at next year's budget, you know, the governor has to make, you know, certain decisions. And, you know, you can continue to fund MEDC in a certain way, or you could scale that back to some degree and put some of that into tax relief. I think there's a variety of ways to solve the tax relief question that is separate from the road funding issue.
Well, how about this? One of the measures that moved out of the state Senate this week was the one that would guarantee more or less that sales taxes on internet purchases get collected. And we should point out that you're supposed to pay the tax, you know, right now if you buy from Amazon or some other online
retailer. It just gets ignored,
though. But most people don't, and there are revenue implications for that.
Yeah, Main Street Fairness Bill.
That's what it's called, the Main Street Fairness Bill.
That's moved forward, correct?
But it's being opposed by some progressives and some conservatives as basically something that affects the poor at a disproportionate rate. Could the Main Street Fairness Bill be an element of that revenue solution now that it's in front of the House?
Well, again, we'll take a look at that issue next week. I don't want to tie that issue to the roads. I'd rather tie that to some tax relief to those low-income and moderate people. Again, we're not talking about a lot of money. I think all of the fiscal agency estimates is that this is about $50 million. Again, that's why I don't think you should really tie this to the roads conversation. I think you should talk about this within the context of tax relief.
But do you support the Main Street Fairness?
I personally do. There are members of my caucus that, you know, I think have some strong questions about it, but I do think that it's fair. I come from being a mayor of the city of East Lansing, and my bricks and mortar businesses collected sales tax, and then they were competing against internet companies who weren't collecting that, and that's an unfair advantage. And I think to provide a fair playing field for bricks and mortar businesses, I think you need to implement this. I think it should have been done on the federal level, but I think because the federal government has failed to act on it is one of the reasons why the state should be having this conversation.
State Rep. Sam Singh is our guest here on Current State, along with the Michigan Public Radio Network's Rick Pluta. A proposal that now sits on Governor Snyder's desk would create a pilot program for drug testing welfare recipients, as well as require genetic testing to determine the paternity of kids whose families are on welfare. How did you vote on this, and what do you think of the measure?
Well, I oppose them. I think there are some constitutional questions about the way this has been talked about over the last decade. That concern still is there for me. I know that they've tried to change the program to meet some of those areas, but I think when you take a look at these types of plans, when you take a look at what has happened in other states, they don't generate the revenue savings that we need to have at this point in time. You know, I think there were amendments that were put forward that said we should take a look at all people that are receiving some type of tax assistance. If businesses are getting corporate welfare, so to speak, why shouldn't the CEOs of those companies also take a drug test and so forth? And so, you know, to me, I thought this was the typical type of pandering That is often done after an election, and I didn't really see that there was going to be any strong savings towards the state, and it had some constitutional questions still attached to it.
I asked the governor about this particular bill yesterday, and he said that while he does have some concerns about potentially cutting off benefits to people on public assistance instead of getting them into a treatment program if it turns out there's a drug issue there, he thinks that those concerns are probably addressed in this legislation, and if they are, then he will sign it.
Okay. That appears as if he is leaning towards signing it.
Okay. That it seems like he would like to, and he says that he needs to fly spec it over that particular question. But if that's adequately addressed, then he thinks it's
okay. I mean,
okay.
The DHS would apparently have some key responsibilities here. The language is if DHS has a reasonable suspicion.
Right. It's called suspicion-based drug testing.
Okay. Senator Earl Pulaski, we're talking about the other chamber here now, Sam, but he has proposed elimination of what are called community benefits agreements. These are the local incentive packages that communities put together to launch growth and other economic initiatives. He is in favor of state standards, claiming more growth is possible if these standards and incentives are consistent around the state. Where do you stand?
Well, I was opposed to it. It was, not passed in any chamber this week, and that was one of the areas if it needed to pass this week to be able to be considered. So this will be a conversation.
Because there are time limits.
There's time limits before the end of lame duck. So this will be moved into next year's session. He said he'll bring it back up for discussion. But in the end, I think, listen, if a community like East Lansing or Lansing want to provide some level of tax incentive, they should be able to control what they get for that tax incentive. And so to me, to kind of have the state government once again try to tell local communities how they should operate and what types of tax benefits that they give to the businesses that they're trying to attract is something that shouldn't occur. I think there was a nice coalition of what I would consider more conservative Tea Party groups along with people who are really concerned about home rule that kind of came together, and there was not enough, I think, votes to be able to move this forward.
Mm-hmm. Although we should also point out that this particular community benefits agreement legislation, some other hot button issues, overhauling the Electoral College, how we cast our presidential votes.
That's off the table now.
Well, so is CBA, so are those. And that's an indication that Republicans, that the fact that these were not lined up for final passage is that these road funding negotiations are getting serious, because Republicans are sending signals that if we can all play well together on roads, this stuff is out of the way. There are still some technical mechanisms they could use to bring back some of them, but this is sort of, the first sort of good faith signal that they want to focus on the roads.
Well, it might be relevant here to talk about what else is off the table here, because you passed an important deadline yesterday. If a measure had not passed one chamber of the legislature or the other by the end of yesterday, apparently it's really off the table until 2015, as I understand. Is that correct?
And that's making the assumption that the 18th is our last day of session. That has been what the public conversation has been, both from the House and the Senate. And if that is the case, then you're absolutely correct. Anything that didn't pass one chamber at least would be stopped at this point in time and moved into next session.
Yeah, I mean, what that's about is the Michigan Constitution sets time limits that every chamber has to have a bill for at least 5 calendar days before they can vote it up or down. That's the time limit that just passed. And
what else has been taken off the table, though?
Well, I think for a long time we were having conversations to changes to auto no fault. That has been taken off the table. There was a number of education bills, the A through F grading system for schools. That's off the table. There was a third grade reading assessment bill that no longer is on the table. Rick mentioned the Electoral College. Also, there was a scheme to try to move the executive of Oakland County election to the
off year when turnout is lower.
Yes.
And that was a very political bill that seems to have been taken off the table.
And so a lot of the things that I would say were very partisan in nature were actually taken off the table based on this. Again, assuming that we're all going to adjourn on the 18th.
I would assume you're not amongst the legislators who occasionally refer to this session as Awesome Duck. There's not an awful lot there's less for Democrats to be excited about during this lame duck session, I think, than the majority here. What has transpired here during this session that you're pleased with?
Well, again, you know, I think we continue to have a number of bills that we were trying to get through the political process that we're trying to get done. But I think in the end, for Democrats, we were focused on roads. And until we get that done next week, I can't say that there's any success here. But I can definitely tell you that the same level of concern that we had 2 years ago with the lame duck that was so partisan in nature, that I'm pleased to see that that's not occurring this time around.
Very good. Rick, you had one final thought.
Awesome Duck wasn't the phrase for this question. It was Jace Bolger's description of the lame duck session 2 years ago, and what he said was he was threatening that there would be a return of the awesome
return
duck
of awesome
if
duck.
There wasn't some movement on these things.
Okay, very good. Thanks for the clarification, and thanks to our special guest, State Representative Sam Singh of East Lansing. Rick Pluta, many thanks. Okay.